Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello and welcome back to the show. Today is episode 651, and I'm really excited to have my new friend, a fellow Erin, here with me today. Her name is Erin Bowdy, and she is an Enneagram expert, but I thought I would invite her to share a little bit more about what it is she actually does and how it relates to parenting. So welcome, Erin.
Hi, welcome, or thank you, not welcome, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited for this conversation. So can you tell my listeners a little bit more about what it is that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a behaviorist by trade. I've been working and studying in behavior change for over two decades. And I've always been interested in my work in how our shifting our habits, shifting our behavior can have an impact in the world. And so a lot of my work has happened in the realm of leadership and how leaders can change habits and behaviors as a way to make an impact to a team, and then hopefully a common good and a common goal that has some relevance in society, right? To those that we serve. And so I did that work for a very, very long time. I became a mom. My oldest is 7. And all of that shifted how I showed up at work. And I use a bunch of tools that we're going to talk about one of them today, the Enneagram, but it's just a tool in the toolbox. And I had been using that in the corporate world to help put language to these behavior shifts. And my first kiddo was diagnosed early on the spectrum, and it really changed the way that I could and chose to show up at work. I really wanted to be a more present parent, and that didn't look like working 60 hours a week and traveling and whatnot. And so I made the really tough decision to sort of what I thought put a pin in my career so that I could be home with her and our newborn more. And that turned into me doing a lot of coaching and consulting on the side and starting a PhD program and really thinking about how I could do my work differently. And what I recognized in, you know, getting a PhD and having two decades of experience in an area, that nothing taught me more about my presence and my parenting than, or like presence work than parenting. It was, you know, having a high needs child and a newborn at the same time really required me to lean into the tools that I had been using for leaders and say, how can I use these for me to shift and practice? And so ultimately, I was an expert in it sort of tactically, and then it became very practical in my work. And so for the past 5 years, I've had the absolute pleasure of helping people make identity-related shifts to their behavior. And that sort of permeates all of our roles, whether that's in business or at home or in parenting or with our spouse. And I do use the Enneagram as a tool to help sort of expedite that. But ultimately, my daughter Eleanor is the best teacher I've ever had. And I'm so, so, so grateful for that. Although I have quite a few more grays than I've had in the past.
What I think is notable, I would say, about having a special needs child, or like you said, a high needs child, especially one who's on the spectrum, because I know that you know, kids on the spectrum tend to be a little less flexible in their thinking and their ideas about how the world will go. And so it really does require you to just throw out everything you thought or you were doing as a parent, probably, and just yes. completely become more flexible than you ever thought possible. Because yeah. it's very difficult for kids like that to be flexible. So if we're coming to parenting with rigid ideas of how we think it should be or it should look or what we expect our kids to do or not do, sometimes we can steamroll over certain kids who are more tolerant of our rigid ways, shall mm-hmm. I say? But mm-hmm. other kids will say, hard no. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I'm not going for that. No ifs, ands, or buts. And so it really does, I can imagine that it really did put you in a position of having to rapidly reach into that toolbox that you've been kind of preparing for your whole life and start really living with these tools, living and breathing them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, where Eleanor sort of confronted my triggers and patterns in my personality, right? Like, I really do well when I can control things. And, mm-hmm. You know, her world is just not something I can control. And I can do my best. And it's unpredictable. And we have to flow with it. My son, who is very neurotypical, has done that work for my husband in that he's really tenderhearted and really sensitive. And we work really hard to make sure he has a voice and carved out space in our life, because his sister demands so much from our household. And so because of that, we've got this fully expressive little kid who, you know, needs a lot of tender reassurance in the world. And so both of our kids have sort of pushed us to, I guess, hit head on our own rigid ways of being, our own conditioning, the breaking the cycles of the parenting that we've had, you know, all of that. And they're such gifts, aren't they? Because they come with such short memories, the mistakes that we make, and the ways that we wish we would have done it differently, and all of that. And they're just ready to, like, you know, pivot with you and recover with you. And it's such a beautiful example of what we have accessible within us. If we sort of loosen the hold that, from my perspective, personality and identity sort of keeps us really tight and clenched. Kids are this, like, living, breathing, visible reminder of, oh, I can do this too. So I really do look at them as little teachers, these little embodied teachers of presence. And I sort of believe that if we can get to the present moment as parents, we have everything we need to problem solve and to support and to be. It's just that work that's really hard of getting into the present moment.
Oh, that's so true. My dear friend, Dr. Shefali, always says that our kids, the exact kids that we have, come to us to show us where it is we have yet to grow. And boy, you expressed that so well. I could not agree more.
Yeah, that's a whole truth.
Yeah, they offer us such an opportunity if we can see it that way. But mm-hmm. that's the key. If we can mm-hmm. see it that way, to really examine where it is we can expand and grow and evolve as human beings.
Yeah, totally. I love that.
So tell me and my listeners a little more about the Enneagram, because I know that some of them will know what it is and be very familiar with it, and other people may be a little bit intrigued by what it is that you're talking about.
Yes. So the Enneagram is a model of personality. It's an archetypal system that helps us understand patterns that we develop in the human experience. So we get familiar in personality models like the Big Five Factor or Myers-Briggs or Strength Finders or the DISC assessment. The Enneagram is just another one of these tools. I've been trained in quite a few. It is my favorite. And the reason it's my favorite is because it goes beyond just categorizing behavior. We have a tendency to look at behavior in terms of what we do, right? Like I might be controlling, or I might be a perfectionist, or I might, be concerned with my right way of doing something. Those are all behaviors. But underneath it is the motivation, the coping strategy, or the why that developed those behaviors in the first place. And the Enneagram starts to put language to those why. And I think that's really important because as humans, especially adult humans who are responsible for the lives and identities of little people, our role is to not just know what we do, but also understand why we do it so that we have the capacity to sort of soften it a little bit. And so the Enneagram just helps us put language not only to the what, but also to the why. And when I can name the why, I can start to resource it or shift it in a really important way. So my story, if I'm controlling, if I like to be in control, it's because I wasn't equipped often as a kiddo to know how to recover well, to feel, safe when things sort of fell apart and that I was going to be okay. I had to sort of hold it all together and sort of put a good face forward and put my chin up. And so as an adult, my behavior is that my belief is I'm safe when I'm in control, instead of the why that I can be safe anytime, right? Or that I know how to make myself safe. And so what that can look like in my parenting is when my daughter's having a meltdown, I can get triggered around, this wasn't in the plan, this wasn't right in the schedule. And sometimes, when I'm not resourced or grounded or taking good care of myself, I can get angry and frustrated and irritated because I'm trying to hold desperately on the behavior of control in order to keep me safe. So that's what I love about the Enneagram, is it starts to help me name those patterns. I found it so powerful for me to have somebody, probably someone like you, Erin, a parenting expert, sort of put language in front of me that say oftentimes we're triggered by our kids in ways in which we don't feel resourced. And the Enneagram put a whole bunch of language underneath that for me and my type to go, oh, this is why. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm triggered by these things that my kids do when they don't listen to me. Because as a kiddo, I wasn't listened to well. I do agree. It's sort of, they sort of show us our opportunities. So you don't have to fall in love with the Enneagram, and have that be your tool. That's helpful. Any sort of resourcing tool that helps you categorize and name what we do is helpful. It's just the one that has worked for me in terms of identity and naming.
I love that quote from Maya Angelou, when we know better, we do better. And I tell parents that all the time. So many times parents come to me and they are frustrated, stressed, angry, all of these things. But then once we work together for a little while and they start to see and understand not only why their children are acting the way they do, but the reason they are acting the way they do. Once they understand, once they have that deeper awareness and understanding, then it almost inevitably puts them in a place of regret. I regret so much that I did or didn't do X, Y, and Z back then. When they did this, I did that. When they said that, I said this. And I feel so bad about it. And I always tell them, when you know better, you do better. There's right. nothing you can do about the past, but the beautiful thing is that, like you said before, kids are resilient. They're extremely forgiving. If they see at any age that you are making a genuine effort to improve your relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Across the board, they are willing to work with you. I've heard so many kids who have told their parents, "It's okay, mom. It's okay, dad. You were just upset. You were having a bad day. I forgive you. It's okay. You don't have to say sorry." Like so many at so many ages. Mm-hmm. So I think we really do have a beautiful opportunity as parents to do the work to understand ourselves and our kids better, which naturally will lead to getting along better. And then everybody is more peaceful and more happy.
Totally. And I think the part about using tools like the Enneagram that's really helpful is the addition of the language, right? The fast forward on that understanding. I can be so much more compassionate. I can have so much more empathy for myself and for my kids if I can put context around it. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I don't have the ability to put language around habits that live in my subconscious, things that I've sort of just done for years and years and years, and I don't know why. And so it's important to look at the language, right? And it's important to make the shift in our nervous system. All of these strategies, these habits live within our body, live within our nervous system. And so if we aren't also supporting the stress reduction and the regulatory work, and this is what, you know, another fascinating component of trauma-informed therapy that works in life is how important physical and emotional regulation is alongside the language. And so I take the Enneagram as one tool and use it to sort of know identity. And then how do we change identity? And that's by supporting the nervous system and stress in the body. Because I have to do that sort of radical healing work as a parent in order to move through my triggers. The information alone isn't enough.
You're so right. You're so, so right. It's really important for us to calm our nervous systems because we can, it is a good point. We can understand all we want, but if we have a physical trigger that's happening that we haven't also addressed, like we're talking about using an Enneagram or some other tool to understand intellectually why something is happening, which is crucial. But if we also have that underlying physical trigger and we don't deal with that, and it's based on whatever trauma may have happened in the past, if we don't deal with that, all the understanding in the world isn't going to be able to short circuit that physical flash reaction that we're going to have.
Yeah. And that's where I love the Enneagram because it's a doorway in. And then I'm also frustrated by the Enneagram information because we can sort of just stop there. We can stop. There was an Enneagram teacher that talked a long time ago about, you know, we sort of get to know our personality, our type. That's what the Enneagram calls it, is our type. And we can just sit and stand and stare at this door and talk about how beautiful the door is. And, you know, and we can consume a ton of information about our personality and parenting. But if I don't actually open the door and walk in and use it, it does me no good other than to just, you know, make me a little more, you know, intellectual.
Yes. That's such a good point. So how did you find, you have this background of using tools like the Enneagram, and then your daughter comes along and says, I'm going to put this knowledge to the test. We're going to see just what you've been doing with your adult self.
Yeah. And I will tell you what I learned really early on with a 2-year-old who had a lot of high needs. I'd say 2 was one of our hardest years. 4 was pretty hard. And 6 was pretty hard. And at 2, I found out that I had been standing and staring at the door for most of my career. I knew a lot of stuff. And it wasn't until I took that knowledge and I brought it into therapy and I brought it into embodiment and somatic work that I saw a real shift. And it took all 3. And that's what I love about the Enneagram, is it illuminates this need for mind, body, heart connection. All three are so integral. And I see this in trauma-informed parenting and Dr. Bruce Perry's work around the regulate, reconnect, reason. We see it in emotional intelligence. We see it in so many other kinds of teaching. And it just reiterated that it takes my whole self to be a whole parent. It really is a practice. It's exercise. I have to be willing to work it out. And the only place I work it out, my gym, my weights, they're my kids. They are who I practice with. And, you know, and in turn, they're practicing with me. So, you know, it's being willing to make mistakes and it be messy and, you know, sometimes regret what we're teaching them because they use their voice and they speak out and they hold us accountable.
So true. So true. But ultimately it serves them.
Oh yeah. And I wouldn't change a thing about it. I just, my son just turned 5, my daughter just turned 7, and they're so expressive and they use their voice and they say their needs and they speak up, you know, in their 8, they have so much agency. It's so beautiful. And in those moments, I'm tested because it would be really nice if they would just listen all the time, but they don't. I'm tested and also like simultaneously full of so much pride.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it cool how you can hold both of those feelings that seem opposite at the same time?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I think that's what they've taught me is, you know, my daughter's challenges stem from violence. That's a lot of where our concern is that she's got a lot of rage and she causes a ton of mostly self-harm. Sometimes when she gets a little out of control, it's directed usually at me. And to hold the pain and the violence and the struggle with also then what will happen is this deep crash of shame. And she shows me that both and all the time that mm-hmm. we can be both full of, you know, like tons and tons of rage and anger and frustration and also all this heart and shame and love and need for belonging. And every day she sort of asks me to grapple with holding complex, seemingly contradictory, but very complementary feelings. And it's work. It's a lot of lifting weights.
Well, you have a really beautiful way of articulating in such an eloquent way what is a really challenging situation, but it's really beautiful the way you describe it. I love it.
Well, thank you. I'm getting a little emotional having you mirror that back to me because my kids are just amazing. They're just such gifts. So I'm so grateful.
They sound like beautiful little gifts in your world. They really, really do.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're but really special. you could look through a different lens and do nothing but complain about how difficult it is and how challenging her behaviors are and how exhausting it is, which is all true also. Yeah. But I really do believe it's a lot about what you focus on grows. And so if you chose to stay in that negative energy, you could be a really unhappy, miserable, stressed out parent and your daughter would be thousands of times worse than she is mm-hmm. because she wouldn't have that loving support that just really holds the space. And like you said, grapples with these complex emotions every day. Mm-hmm. And so she's really blessed to have you as a mom who has this level of understanding and willingness to really show up in the way that she needs every day. And yeah. I think that's what all of our kids deserve.
Yes. Yes.
They really do.
That's what I was just going to say. And Erin, your work is so important because I did have a career that prepped me for this, right? Like I did, you know, I was babysitting executives for a long time. Like I had a lot of practice with temper tantrums, just usually in boardrooms and suits. Yes. And so my kids were nothing compared to the way some adults act. Mm-hmm. And Nobody was teaching me how to apply this to parenting. you know, we got sort of got thrown into the special needs community, and thank goodness for occupational therapists and, social workers and all these people that we were sort of surrounded with. We are so privileged in the accessibility we've had to resources and care. But I also hold this big ache in my heart that, man, all of this should be available to all parents. I think OT should be available to every kid in every school, in every place, because it's so valuable. And so when I have the opportunity to interact with folks like you who are doing such important work, making the teaching how to be a whole person and how to shape a whole person more accessible, it's just so needed.
I agree. It makes me think back to when we had to work with an OT for two of my kids, and it reminds me of the outrageous costs that we had to absorb in order to provide this, which, you know, thankfully we were fortunate enough to be able to do it, and I would have moved mountains. If I had to sell my house and move into an apartment, if that was what it took to get them what I believed that they needed, I would have. But I also know that not everybody has that ability. And it really does make me sad to think about a child genuinely needing a service like that and not being able to afford it, which, you know, we could have a whole discussion about insurance and healthcare and all that stuff. But I do know that early intervention is a wonderful program for parents of younger kids whose needs are identified more quickly. So that's a really beautiful gift. Yeah. And if any listeners have some younger ones, I think they do 0 to 3, maybe. Yep,
that's right. That's right.
So if you're listening, you have younger ones who are struggling with some really unusual or challenging behaviors, you may want to reach out to your early intervention in your area, because that's a great place to start. Yeah. But yes, I think every child who needs services should have access to them across the board.
And it requires so much of parents to be advocates. You know, for high needs children, for neurotypical children, I mean, we just have to be advocates. And it's not always easy to come by, and we don't always have the capacity to sort of push into, and like you said about moving mountains. So I just appreciate, you know, podcasts like this and resources that are working to make it more accessible. And I'm happy to, you know, be a small part of the digital world, creating space. You know, my whole point for being on social media, I just spend most of my time putting content out on Instagram, is because I want to be like that gym for folks, where you can come and practice and reflect and think and do that work. Not because I want anything in return, but that's just the small way that I want to help folks feel like they can build into their capacity and show up for the people in their lives, be it their children or their spouses or their teens at work, in a way that helps them feel a tiny bit more resourced, because it's just changed my life profoundly in how I show up for the people that I love, but then also how I hold, right? That both and, how I hold the small impacts that I can make every single day to the folks in my community or in my digital community that might not have the knowledge or the capacity that I've been privileged enough to have.
That is absolutely beautiful. I appreciate your work in the world and you in the world, because what you're doing is really, really important and helpful to so many. So where can people find out more about you or connect with you or learn about your work?
If they want to check me out on Living the Enneagram, on Instagram, that's the handle, is Living the Enneagram. And I have loads and loads and loads of free resources that you can get to from my Instagram handle, my link in the bio. I've got a YouTube channel, a bunch of free digital resources. So if you don't know your type and you want to figure it out, I can help you there. loads and loads and loads of ways to practice, reflection prompts, journals, exercises, videos. You don't need to pay for a single ounce of, you know, Enneagram knowledge or training or coaching if you're willing to sort of do the deep dive in all my free information. If they have questions, they can, you know, visit my website or send me a DM. I'm happy to help folks sort of get that clarity, that awareness, that language that helps us to go then practice it with folks like you, or, you know, whether it's a parenting coach or a therapist or, you know, what another teacher, another practitioner. I take what I know when I learn about me and I go put it to use somewhere. And that's what I really think is powerful about the Enneagram. It's just a catalyst to taking action and sort of resourcing ourselves in powerful ways. So it would be my privilege and my honor to support your listeners in that way.
Awesome. Well, I will post your Instagram handle in the show notes so people can start right there and have fun exploring all the wonderful resources you've created.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Erin, for what you're doing for parents like me.
I appreciate that. I really do. So we're going to keep doing the work that we do because it's needed. And people deserve the help, and families deserve to have a more peaceful relationships.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Erin, for this time, and the work that you're doing in the world is really important. And I am glad that our paths have crossed, and I hope that they will cross again soon. And that wraps up today's episode. So wherever you are in this world, I hope that you make it a very enlightening day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.